Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Richard Lewis Show. I'm Richard Lewis, and today we are joined by a guest, somebody I've been wanting to bring onto the podcast for a long, long time indeed. You will know him as Mon. It's Martin Fan, a legendary FGC competitor, had a stint in the LCS, team owner, controversial figure. He's done it all. And I've got to be honest with you, Martin, I kind of feel like a bit of a noob because I didn't get turned on to you until 2010, I think it was, when DJ Weep was talking about you one time and talking about all these mad stories like in your past and saying that you were one of the like real OGs, like never changed, even though back, you know, the fighting games community was coming up, esports was coming up, and that you were true to yourself. So just what did I miss? Give me the cliff notes.
What do you mean by what? Like,
yeah, pre-2010, Mon, what the fuck were you doing?
Pre-2010? I mean, 2010 was my 10th year competing in fighting games. I started when I was 12, back in 2000. Shit. 2000, I went to my first tournament. I got, like, 13th out of, like, 80 people or something, and I was, like, 12 years old, so I went to tournaments with my brother. My brother used to compete too. No one knows that. He was like a top Third Strike player. It was a very long time ago. Then he was like, you know what? Go ahead. Go to just keep going to tournaments. You know, I got to go get on with life, do my own thing. And, you know, I started traveling by myself. Went. I skipped like AP calculus like tests and stuff to like get at like just go to tournaments and stuff like that. And you know, growing up, like since I was like mostly the youngest person at these tournaments and stuff, like everyone would always pick on me and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So like I guess like in the end it kind of just, now I'm just like, fuck it, dude. I'm just gonna do what people did to me, dude. I'm just gonna start like just yelling and just be an asshole and stuff like that. And
You're continuing the cycle of hate, Martin. That's you got to break it, brother. You got to rise above. But so 12 years old, getting picked on, going to these events and kicking old guys' asses. This was what, like, were you doing this in Texas, which is where you were born and raised?
Yeah, I was born in Houston, and yeah. There would be like weekends, like we would like drive to Atlanta for this tournament called Final Round. My brother would drive us to Evo. It would be like 24 hours to get there. Like a lot of times, like we would go with like six other Texas players, and we would just like drive to tournaments instead of flying. Mm. And that was basically grassroots FGC. People would just drive to places instead of flying.
Yeah. And what yeah, straight on.
Just go. We just rent a car and just go, dude. It was fun.
What did your parents make of it all? Because 12 is fucking young, dude. I mean, you know, I look back at the shit I was doing when I was 12, right? Right. And like, if I had a 12-year-old now, I'd be horrified. You know, I think my parents let me get away with a bit too much for being 12. But most parents I know, they certainly are a bit wary about their kids, even when they're like 16 years old, going to tournaments and going to LAN events and traveling with strangers they've met on the internet, you know, because there's all those like horror stories and whatnot out there. So how did your parents fucking react to it? Like you're 12 and you're like just driving to Atlanta to go play video games.
Well, so basically when I was growing up, my parents weren't like really ever home. Like, my mom would be in Vietnam. She'd be like, she's like doing like a lot of like buying land and stuff like that for like later. Like now she has like a ton of land in Vietnam and she's like making mad money. And my dad would be working, right? So like most of the time I'd just be like, hey, like just ask my brother, like, yo, let's just go somewhere and then tell them like we're going to a friend's house or something for the weekend and then just come back like either like way Monday morning and then go straight to school and stuff like that. So they didn't really like know, but when they did know, like it was a very tough road to try to get them to like pay for me to like go places. Like my brother would ask them, but then like when they're at home, they'd be like, what are you guys using this money for? And we're like, you know, just going out. That's all it was. There was a lot of lying involved.
Yeah. I think a lot of competitors start out like that. You kind of have to lie to your parents to kind of you know, go out and do what you want to do. But I think this applies in like almost all walks of life, you know, like sportsmen, stand-up comedians, that's another one, you know, yeah. Like people who want to make movies, like, you know, people, yeah, it's like the parents are like, hey, this is the sensible path that you've got to walk on. This is going to college, this is getting an education, this is getting a good job with a six-figure income. And generally, if you want to do anything that's a little bit of a curveball from that, you know, parents absolutely, you know, they put their foot down because they got, you know, your best interests at heart. I mean, whenabouts did they get on board with it? When did your parents start realizing, actually, this is okay?
I don't, like, after I finished, like, high school, there's this guy named Justin Wong.
Oh, I know Justin, yeah.
Who straight up was like, hey, Martin, move to New York, right? And I was like, dude, I gotta go to college. Like, my mom wants me to, like, go into electrical engineering, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know what? Fuck all that, dude. Yo, come live with me. We got this. We can rule the world. And I was just like, all right. So my mom thought I was going to the University of Texas in Austin, but I was in New York, right? Like, and then one day she like called me and was like, hey, I'm in front of your apartment. And I'm like, oh, like, I'm not there right now. Like, I'll be back later. But I was in New York, right? And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I think she figured it out. And she called me and she was like, you're not my son anymore, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, shit.
And then she got really mad. And then I think that was about 2 years into her thinking I was in college. And she got pretty mad, but I think once EG signed me, I think that was back in 2009 or 10.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think that's when DJ Wheat was talking about you, about you going to EG, and that was what, you know, saying how it was like, it was like a classic EG move, because everybody that EG signed, it wasn't just about skills, right? It was always skills, but personality as well. Yeah. And that was like that synonymous with their brand. And that's what Marcus was talking about way back when.
Yeah. So once EG signed me and I was like, hey, look, you know, like I got a semi job. It's not like a real job because EG wasn't really paying that much. But I was like, you know, this could work out, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually my mom was just like, all right, do whatever you want. But if it fails, you have to go back to school and stuff like that. Well, like, that's like the main thing, right? It's like people are like, okay, if you fail at it, you have to go back to school and stuff like that. So basically that's when she was just like, all right, do whatever you want as long as you're happy and stuff. It took a lot of convincing from like my aunt, like from California, and my brother, like. But she listens to my brother a lot because my brother was the one who basically raised me because she was, like I said, never there, right?
Right,
so
right.
So I always, like, listen to my brother. Whatever he says, I'm just like, I'll just listen to him. So after that, it was all good.
What's your brother doing now, then?
he is in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah?
Where I was for 3 years. He like, when I left to come back here, he moved to Vietnam himself. And I was just like, what? It's random. But he used to, like, manage a casino floor, do real estate. He dabbles into random stuff. I don't know what he does. He's just, like, doing shit.
So what was the first big paycheck from esports, and when did it happen? Was it joining EG? Because, you know, say what you want about that organization, they always paid their players well. No doubt about that.
Not the FGC. Well.
All right, okay.
I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, I love...
No, hey, they don't even fucking exist right now. So, like, if you're going to shit on anyone, make it the motherfuckers that don't exist, you know?
I love Garfield and Scoots, but we had a miscommunication back then, right?
Right.
Like, I had a zero salary contract. I wasn't, like, I was making no money, right?
For real?
But, yes. But, so I was there a couple of weeks or, like, a couple months before Justin was. And I swear on my life, we had a conversation where, hey, if you can get Justin Wong to join EG, we will give you a salary, right? And I was just like, oh, free. He's my best friend. I'm going to make him, right? But during this time, they couldn't talk to Justin because he was doing Ultimate Gamer, like WCG right. Ultimate Gamer. And then he gets out of Ultimate Gamer, and then, like, literally the day he like, comes back home, like, I'm just like, dude, you know, let's go out to a steak and lobster dinner. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, dude, let's go. And he's like, what do you want? And I was just like, don't worry about it. We're going to do this, right? So we go to dinner, and at the dinner, I'm like, Justin, I need you to talk to somebody. So I call Garfield, and I'm like, look. And Garfield's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And at this time, Justin was, like, loyal to EMP and Triforce, right? Like, Justin did not want to leave, and he said he was, like, tired from WCG. He just wanted to relax, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nah, dude, we got to fucking go. We just got to do this right now. This is better for your future and stuff like that. Like, I just gave Justin, like, a rundown of why it's better. You know, in EMP, he's not making money. His money was getting stolen. Like, stuff like that. I was like, dude, EG's way better. EG's going to, like, give you what you need, and it's going to help you. Huh?
Stolen? Who was stealing his money, dog?
That's for another day, dude. That's just for another day.
All right, we'll save that one.
And then all that happened, and then eventually he was like, fuck it, I'll sign with EG. So he signed with EG. And then we went to ESWC. Mm. That was the biggest esports check, I think, that happened for the FGC. I think it was like 10 grand for the top three, whatever. Me and Justin got first and second, came back. You know, eventually I was just like, yo, Scoots, Garfield, like, you know, we got Justin, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then, you know, they're just like, well, you know, I don't really know what you're talking about. I think we kind of didn't. And then that's when I left EG. That's when I was just like, no, I'm tired. I'm fucking mad. Like, I'm not making money from this shit. Justin's making all the money. I got them, Justin. What the fuck? So I left. And that's basically, I mean, the first biggest prize was ESWC. And then after that, I think everything started having a lot of money. Like,
did that make you, like, super wary? Because, I mean, was that, like, your first sort of dealing with a professional, you know, esports organization? And, like, they went from sort of, you know, promising a lot. But look, this was typical at the time. The broken promises in esports was fucking notorious. You know, so what did this make you think of the whole esports thing? Because I know the FGC and esports, it's kind of like oil and water, but you've always struck me as a guy that has always had a lot more time for esports than perhaps some other FGC OGs, you know?
Oh, I mean, after them, I really never signed with a team again until like last year, right? Like, I had my own team. That was dumb. I just made some mistakes. But, like, I mean, I understand kind of where Scoots and Garfield were coming from. Mm. Like, I feel like maybe we should have clarified it a bit more. But there was there wasn't any other reason why I would have been, like, so houndy on Justin, right? I would have been, I believe them, if it was just them, I don't think they would have been able to convince Justin. I think it was just because me and Justin were so close. Like, I was like, you know, because Justin was with EMP since he was like 14 or 15 or whatever. You know, he was under Triforce's wing. And, you know, I knew all about the situations there. And I knew EG was a better place because, I mean, EMP, we all were under that banner, right? Like, everybody, like, at the beginning, like, all the top players, like, he knew how to see talent, but he just didn't know how to manage the talent, right? Like, Triforce, he just... So, after EG, I was just like, oh, this shit sucks. You know, I don't think I'll ever get a deal, blah, blah, blah. And even then, I was doing good in Street Fighter 4. I was, like, doing second and third behind Justin at around that time when I was with EG. And then I just fell off for a bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, let's talk about the wilderness then. You know, I mean, like, I think the FGC is great in the sense that you can be an independent, right? Like, cause if you keep winning the prizes and you can sort of self-fund getting to the events, it's probably one of the esports, one of the competitive gaming outlets that exists where you can be completely independent. You know, you don't need to rock somebody else's fucking t-shirt, somebody else's sponsors. You can do it solely for you, funded by you, and you can make bank, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to, like, be invited, like, all this CSGO, and then you don't have to pay your way in. You just do you, and it all works out. But, I mean, back when we were EMP, like, me and Justin would buy our own bus tickets to, like, go down to the Virginia tournaments. Like,
oh, you rocking the Greyhound.
Yeah, we were – no, there was, like, this Chinatown bus thing, dude. Like,
oh, shit.
It wasn't even the Greyhound. It was some shady shit, dude. We would go there just to win like a couple hundred bucks and then come back and then buy some ramen packs, and then the ramen packs would be gone in the morning, and then I'm just like, fuck, what the fuck happened? Like, it was just a bad spot we were in. Yeah, but, you know, it's always good that people can just do their own thing. There's not really that many invitationals. There are a couple popping up, like E-League and E-League and like PAX stuff, like PAX does stuff. But other than that, there's a lot of, you know, I mean, it's like you can go solo, you make a name for yourself, and then it's a snowball effect, right? Like, you do good and people will notice you, and then you'll eventually probably be picked up unless you're rich as fuck. But.
Well, let's talk about, you know, building your brand, right? You go from being a 12-year-old, you know, for want of a better word, prodigy, you're beating people, you're winning tournaments. When did you start developing the personality to go alongside the skills? Because I think one of the things that's great about the FGC, why I wanted to get the FGC on E-League, on television, in, you know, more cemented in esports, is because I think there's personalities like no fucking other in the FGC. People now understand you've got to have that showmanship. You've got to be able to do interviews. You've got to have mic skills. You've got to be able to do pop-offs. You know, like, people understand the theatrics that go with a great entertaining show. So, and you have been one of those pioneers of that kind of mindset. So when did you start becoming Mon?
Well, I always tell this story, but like, there was this tournament called like Final Round 7 where like I played against this guy named Too Nasty. I was playing characters like I liked back then. Like, I used this, like, you know, this boy girl yo-yo person named Bridget in Yota Gear. I lost. I went behind. It was in the gym. I went behind the doors. I straight just cried. I was like 14 or 15 at this time. I just straight cried. I was like, you know what? Fuck all these people. I'm never going to fucking lose again. I'm just going to use like the cheapest shit in games. I'm just going to do my own thing. So then I started playing the best character game, and that's when I became like the best player in the U.S. in Guilty Gear, right? And then I realized, like, everyone was just, like, everywhere you go in the FGC, everyone's always loud and stuff, right? So yeah. The point is to be louder, right? It's not, like, to make yourself better than everyone else. Like, I'm going to be better at you than at being loud, too. Like, I just wanted myself to be out there. Like, I wouldn't say I'm an attention whore, but I'm kind of like an attention whore. I mean, it just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, even in high school, it was just like, I was always just trying to be like the person in the group. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It just all happened. And then just, I don't know, all the fucking shit I had to go through back in the day until now, dude. It kind of made me into the... I don't think I'm like an asshole to my friends, but I'm like an asshole to people I don't know.
Yeah, this is the thing. People don't realize you get like kind of like there comes a moment, a defining moment where it's like you just constantly keep taking a barrage of shit. You know, there does come a moment where you become like so hard to it. Like you just think to yourself, I'm never going to be in a position where I'm going to take shit again. I'm not going to do that anymore. Fuck that. It's for suckers. And if it means that occasionally you're going to come across as brash or arrogant or egotistical, like, fuck it. I'll take it. Because you don't know about the 10 years before now. Me being an asshole to you right now. You don't know about the 10 years of getting punked and ripped off and everything. Like, you don't know why I'm this way. And people, like, they never look at people's, like, entirety. They never look at their stories. You know, I fucking hate the internet culture we got right now where it's like you get judged on one tweet, you know, or like one thing you said in an interview, one opinion, like as if that like makes you a binary good or evil person for the rest of, you know, for the rest of time, and everything you did previously is completely colored by that one instance that people judge you for. It's stupid.
I think the instance that like changed how I was as a person was when I was like 16. Like, I brought some friends over at night, right? And then my parents, like I said, they're never home. My mom and my dad, like, at this instance though, my mom, my dad, and my brother went to Vietnam just for a vacation. So I was home alone. So I'm a stupid kid, right? I'm just going to be like, yo, everyone come over and we're going to hang out, play some cards and like just whatever. And then, you know, people brought over food and stuff. And then everyone left at like 12. And then I woke up the next morning at like 7 a.m. and everything in my house was gone. And I was just like,
wait, everything?
Like literally like all the computers, the TVs, like everything was just like straight gone, right? And then like, I went to my English teacher, this Boardman. I was just like, and I just started bawling. I was like, man, I fucked up. Dude, fuck this shit, blah, blah, blah. And I called my friend Alex over, and I was just like, dude, I'm just going to fucking, like, I'm just going to end myself, dude. Because if I don't end myself, my parents are going to end me when I come back, right? So I used a fucking belt on the garage thing.
Oh,
didn't work.
Shit.
Didn't work.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it broke. It broke, but... the belt broke because obviously I'm fat, but whatever. It broke. And then after that, I was just like, you know what? I just don't trust people anymore. I'm just not going to, like, have that many friends. And that's why, like, usually if you, like, see me at a tournament and stuff, I'm just hang out with Justin and stuff like that. But I don't really, like, trust people. But, like, it's very hard for me to, like, open up to people, right? Like, I'm just, like, a very, like, most of the time, if I'm not loud, I'm not saying shit, right? I just... Like, if I'm not, like, there, I'm just, like, just a normal-ass dude just, like, try to just talk to Justin.
Well, you're still here, so, you know, your fucking parents, what the fuck did they do? How did they take that shit?
They got mad because they were like, it's definitely one of your friends, right? Because they didn't take the alcohol or anything. They just straight took, like, the technology and, like, they went into her room and took the jewelry, right? Like, they just, like, straight, like, I think they bought off with, like, 130 grand of, like, stuff, I think. And then the guy who I thought did it, his name was, like, Toonie from our school. Like, he was, like, the most gangster guy, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't even invite him. My friends invited him over, right? Yeah. And then, so basically, the cops came over there. It was like, so basically, someone, like, pulled down the thing on the garage a little bit, right, to unlock it. But, like, you don't really see it unless you pull up.
Yeah.
So, like, when I woke up that morning, the garage was up. And then, so I knew what happened. But then, like, the craziest thing is the same year, the next year in January, because this happened on Thanksgiving Day, right? I know, like, it happened on Thanksgiving Day. And then my birthday is January 23rd. And then the night of January 22nd, he got into a motorcycle accident, right? And straight on the 23rd at like 12:03 a.m. or something, he died, right? And I was just like, fuck. I was like, this all fucking just straight happened. Like, this is crazy as shit. Like it happened because I was like, I know this fucking guy did. I hope he fucking dies. I said that for like fucking like a month straight. I was like, I fucking know it was him, dude. And he fucking straight died in a motorcycle accident like the day of my birthday. And I was just like, fuck, dude. And my parents were just like, you know, like, it's just fucking money. You could have been shot. You could have been killed or whatever. You know, they could have came in, and if you woke up, you were fucking dead. So it's okay, blah, 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 you know. So they took it better than I expected. Yeah. Like, I expected them to fucking just, like, straight fucking, like, just kill me, right? But they were just like, you know, it's just money, blah, blah, blah. It's better if you're here, stuff like that. So after that, it was okay, but, like, my trust in people kind of just, like, went to shit, right? Like, I just, and then that's the story of how I changed my life, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, esports is like not a fucking industry where you're gonna meet a lot of you know, like, genuine people, right? Like, everyone, I honestly believe this myself, I don't have a fucking story as dark as that as to what fucking made me cynical, right? But, like, you know, just years of working in esports, I was, like, reading some of my old articles while I was preparing for this interview, trying to find if I... Because I actually wrote an article about you, which we'll get to. Yeah, it's just, like, the scene's just full of fucking liars and bullshit artists and, You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if ever there was a fucking industry to be cynical in, you know, it's this one. So I don't think necessarily, you know, while that story's awful, you know, it's definitely put you in the right frame of mind to sort of keep your head down and get through this business.
It's just everyone's in it for themselves, dude.
Yo. Yeah, sorry, go on, brother.
No, I wasn't going to say anything. I just said that.
Mm. So, look, I mean, I've got this little bit I want to talk about here, and you know, you can tap out on this one. This is one of the tougher questions, but I wanted to talk a little bit about sort of, you know, what you went through this period where you did become a bit of a controversial figure, and as I said, this was all news to me. You know, I had to research it. I know lovable, cuddly, fun Mon. That's the Mon I know, right?
Right.
But there's a couple of things on the internet. Like, I gotta talk about the Guilty Gear thing. This is like a crazy story. So I'm gonna try and summarize it for those who haven't already heard this. And I'm sure you've talked about this a bunch of times. And I apologize, but I'll just give people the cliff notes. So supposedly, there was a Guilty Gear tournament. Which was, a pretty big deal, a big sponsored tournament, and you had ended up running it. Was that due to your relationship with Evil Geniuses, correct, or no?
I don't think, was that EG at this time? I don't think so.
Yeah, okay, maybe not. Right, so anyway, they had a sponsor, and you ended up running the whole tournament, and then apparently... What has always been the most commonly held belief is that you kind of decided to, because you were competing in the tournament you were organizing, you decided to alter the brackets in a way that was favorable to you, so it would have a run where you would go, like, if you made it all the way to the final, you would play the other favorite in the final. Like, you guys were at opposite ends of the brackets. And apparently people found out that you'd done this thing, and then they decided to sort of cancel the event right in the middle of the tournament due to this interference. And people always say Guilty Gear never recovered from that moment, and Mon is the guy who single-handedly killed Guilty Gear. That's the meme. Now, I have no idea of discerning how much of that is true, whether you did that shit or not, but you know, I had to ask you and get it from the horse's mouth, right?
So basically, back in that time, like, I was running a lot of tournaments for Guilty Gear. I was doing a lot of, like, volunteer work. I was running, like, Evil South brackets, like, Evil brackets. I was running a lot of stuff, like, just because I thought it was fun, so I was doing it. But Seasons Beatings was this tournament that I apparently, like, fucked up, whatever. Seasons Beatings in Ohio.
Yeah.
So this is my story, okay?
Like, yeah, you drop it.
I was running it. I think it was a 91-man tournament. There was 91 people. And there was this very big match there. It was supposed to be... It was Yipes versus Justin versus Sanford in Marvel 2. Right? And I was running a tournament, and Fuji, the tournament organizer, was just like, when this event happens, we're turning off the lights and we're not running the brackets. That's 100% not happening. All right? So everyone's going to watch this match. We're not going to run the brackets. I said, okay, that's cool. So I had a lot of money on it. I had like $500 or something. I had $500 on Justin, whatever. I put my money up, blah, blah, blah. And then, so he was like, all right, we're going to shut down the tournament brackets right now. And then, like, in 10 minutes, we're going to start Justin versus Yipes versus Sanford. And I was like, all right. And then this guy, I'm not going to name him, because I've named him before, and people actually don't know him that much.
All right.
But this guy and this other guy from Nebraska. So this guy was, one guy was from Chicago, one guy's from Nebraska. They came up to me and they're like, "Mark, you ever smoked weed before?" And I was like, "No, not at all." Right? I was like, "Nope, never done it, never will." And they're like, "Yo, come out to the car with us. Let's hang out for a little bit." And I'm like, "What?" So I go out, and they banged out this fucking bong. Like, I swear to God, it was like this fucking, like, it was fucking huge, right? And then He's like, "Mark, I'm just going to need you to inhale, and that's it. That's all you need to do." And I'm like, "No." And they're like, "Dude, just one time, and I'll never fucking ask you again." So I took one, And they're like, all right, one more time and you're done. Oh, and I was just like, I took another one. And then I waddled straight back to the venue, right? It was just like from the car to the venue, I waddled back. And right, and then Justin Yipes in Stanford happened. And then Fuji's like, hey, I'm going to need you to write. Since there was no Smash GG or Challenge, it was all paper brackets, right? So Fuji's like, oh, since it's down to like top 16 or like top 32 or whatever, I'm going to need you to transfer it to a new bracket, right? And I'm like, all right, sure, whatever. So then I transfer it all to a new bracket, and I just throw the other shit away, right? And then Fuji's like, all right, the match is over, blah, blah, blah. We're going to go run brackets again. And I'm like, hey, I'm out of it. I can't fucking run it anymore. I need you to get someone else to run it. They're like, okay. So they got someone else to take the bracket, and they're about to do it. Mm. And then, like, 2 minutes later, he comes back to me, and he's like, hey, Martin, what the fuck is this? And I look it out of the bracket, and it's just straight scribbles, all right? Like, just straight scribbling. Like, there was no name. There was nothing. It was just straight scribbling, right? And I was just like, fuck me, I don't fucking know. I don't know what the fuck happened. Like, I'm just fucking high as shit right now, right? So then, you know, it's down to like 16 or 32 people or whatever. And then, like, the people who are out of the tournament, they're like, hey, we want our money back. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. You guys have already lost to them, right? You guys have already fucking lost. What the fuck? If anything, the other fucking people should split your money, and then we'll be all good. So then everyone took their money back. Everyone got their $10 back or whatever. And then we canceled the tournament. And I'm just like, well, I fucked up. That was my fault. I completely did it. And then every single time I see this fucking guy at a tournament, this guy who took me outside that year.
Well, the I'm one like, who fucked you up, right?
Yeah. I was like, dude, you understand that this whole Guilty Gear thing is because of you, right? And he's like, shh. And I'm just like, you motherfucker. I'm like, it's you, dude. Like, yeah. So in my side of the story, I just got super fucking high and I fucked up the brackets.
So why do people think that the bracket favored you then? Like, you know, the way it's always spun is that, you know, you wanted to make it to the final and you managed to, you know, rig it in a way that pretty much gave you the easiest route possible to the final. That's what I always read when I'm like reading about this shit on the internet. Don't get me wrong, there's a bunch of other different details about it that are all over the place. Like, no one has a specific story. There's always minor alterations, but that's the bit that always seems to be the recurring theme, that it was somehow malicious, you know, and that's why you were doing it. You just wanted to be the big man, you know. No truth in that.
The tournament was canceled because I fucked up the brackets. It wasn't because I fucking moved myself.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know where that came from. It made no sense. Like, it's just like, it just came from somewhere. It's random. But I made a post on the forums. Like, it was this Dustloop forums or something. I don't even know if the post is there anymore or if they changed it. But I made a post that same night. Like, I was just like, I fucked up. It was my fucking fault. Like, I got high as shit. I don't know what the fuck happened. And then people were like, you're a fucking idiot, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'll take that. That's all me. But then I don't know how it evolved to me. Like, I can't change the bracket in my favor if I'm out of it. Like, what am I going to do? Oh, fuck, man. I'm just gonna change it while I'm already fucked up in the head. I can't fucking play. Like, what do you... Like, I'm literally sitting at a chair at a table just, like, with my head down this whole fucking time. I can't play anymore. I was going to DQ myself. So why would I even float the brackets? That makes no sense. Mm. So I was just like, you know what? As long as people just keep evolving... another layer, another layer. And in my head, I'm just like, no, I fucked up another way. I didn't fuck up the brackets. I just fucked up completely. That was my own fault. I know what I did wrong, but I didn't rig it. Like, I fucked it up.
You stayed away from bongs ever since then?
Yeah.
Because look, man, people don't realize, like, most people's fucking first weed experiences aren't fucking good. I remember the first time I bought hash, right? And nobody told me, like, how much hash gets you high. That, like, they just, you know, you put it in a pipe, you put it in a bong, you smoke it, and you get fucked up. I thought it was going to be easy. So, like, I was just a teenager, you know, so I went out and bought, like, an eighth. Yeah. An eighth of hashish. And I thought, fuck, that's not much. So I just crumbled the whole thing up into a fucking bong, fucking smoked the whole thing in one go. I was absolutely fucking sick as a dog. I was tripping balls. I was white as a motherfucker. I was being sick. I was like, I was trying to call people up to come and fucking help me. And I couldn't understand what they were saying on the other end of the phone. I was absolutely fucked beyond repair, dude. So, like, that put me off weed for a little bit. And then, like, I talked to some of the guys that I used to, you know, because I'd smoked spliffs and stuff before and even had a hit off a bong, but I'd never been in control of the weed. And they were like, what the fuck did you do that for, you fucking idiot? And they showed me the ropes, you know? But, yeah, yeah. I'd never take a fucking bong hit off if anyone wants me to go out to a car park and do a bong hit with them, and fans ask that shit all the time, I'm like, nah. you're gonna put PCP in a pipe or something. Like,
I was fucking, I don't even think it was weed at this point anymore. Mm. I just know I was just fucking done. I was like, basically, that's my story anyways. But if people want to say I floated brackets or rigged it out, I'm like, dude, there is no way I was going to play that tournament anyways. So it makes no sense.
So, I mean, it did fuck up the Guilty Gear scene a little bit, though. I mean, that's what people say, right? Like, that it didn't really recover from that moment. Do you agree with that?
I don't think so. Like, I think James Chen made an article or something. It was just like...
Yeah, I remember reading that, yeah.
I don't think... I think Guilty Gear was on its way out anyways. Like, a lot of tournaments, you know, a lot of tournaments started going to the Xbox, like, 360 or, like, the PS3, and they didn't want to lug around a PS2. Just for Guilty Gear, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's, I don't know. They had a turn, like, they had another tournament at Evo, like, the next year or 2 years later or whatever, and then I still got, like, second or third, and then no one showed up. It's not like I was running those brackets. It's just, like, people, you know, if they don't feel like showing up, then that's their own fault. Like, you know, my fuck-up shouldn't stop you from playing a fucking game that you like to play. Like, it shouldn't change that mentality. Like, oh, he fucked up one tournament. It wasn't like Evo or anything. It was like Seasons Beatings. It was 90-man tournaments. Usually Guilty Gear had like 200 people. Like, Guilty Gear had a lot of people. And then like, Seasons Beatings had 91, and people were like, nah. And then Evo had like 60 or 70 or something. But people want to just blame me, so I'm just like, all right, go ahead. But I'm just, as I mean, if you guys want to think it's my fault, then I don't think so. But if that's what they want to think, that's what they're going to think, man.
So I remember way back when I was like, you know, still kind of learning about the Legend of Mon, right? Like, this is a few years ago. And I heard you were in a game called Dive Kick, right? And yeah. I remember when Dive Kick came out. Again, I used to watch Live on 3 with DJ Wheat and Slasher and Scoots. And they talked about Dive Kick and stuff when it came out. And I thought it was like a pretty cool idea, how it just sort of distilled fighting down to literally that sort of one move and timing and stuff. And I heard there was a character in this game that was based on you, right? Called Mr. Yeah. N. And I was like, oh my God, this man, it must be so cool. But then, like, I started learning about it, and apparently it's not cool. Like, I mean, we've got a picture of it, which Sam will bring up while we're talking. But, my understanding is that because of the Guilty Gear thing, they wanted to put you in the game and kind of like poke fun at you a little bit. Like, it wasn't something you were in on. It wasn't like you said, oh, I'd love to be in your game. And they went, oh, here you go, you're Mr. N. Instead, they made, it's described here as a morbidly obese, effeminate man wearing a toddler onesie and a giant neck support pillow. And his special ability is to run away in fear. That's how it's described. So this is like a mega fuck you. This isn't cool. So I wanted to get your opinion about this. Like, what's it like, first of all, being in a game and being presented to be an asshole in that game? And were you in on it? Was this a joke you were involved in?
Well, usually I told you, like, I don't care what people think of
me. Yeah, right.
It's just like whatever to me. But like, I was in a dark place at the time, so I had to make money somehow. So you know, I got paid for it. So So I thought that was okay. I think I sold like my life to them or something. I don't even know. I didn't even read the contract. I just saw the money amount and I said okay. Like, I'm pretty sure they like still own me to this day somehow. I don't fucking know. I'm pretty sure, like, Keats, the person who made it, is like, yeah, we own you for life. And I'm like, what? Like, are you sure about that? I don't even think I have the contract anymore, but I'm going to need, like, a lawyer to get me out of it somehow. Like,
so was the money good? Like, how does that even happen? So, like, they came to you and said, we want to put you in the game, but we want to make you look like a dick? I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
I mean, I knew they were going to... I knew they were doing that in the first place because I think in the beta builds, like, he was already made. Like, I think at that point, they were just like, all right, we don't want Martyr, like, sue or anything, so let's just fucking give him some fucking money. Like, to me, it was good. The money wasn't good at all. I'm just saying. Like, in this day and age, I wouldn't have done that at all. Like, like at all. Let me tell you, I definitely wouldn't have signed that fucking contract, all right? But there was, I told you, it was a dark time in my life. All right, I needed the fucking money.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you got paid for it. Because it's called Mr. N, I thought they were, like, sailing close to the wind and, you know, kind of, like, hoping you wouldn't sue, right? Yeah, I didn't know you got paid. Oh, shit. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just... I'm telling you, it was... I think...
So, you're saying it's a dark place. What the fuck was going on to make you sign off on this shit?
I had no job. I had no sponsor. I was just, like, going to tournaments and, like, hoping for the best. Like, you know? Dude, actually, I think during this time, Justin was the one who was buying all my food and stuff like that. Like, I'm pretty sure this was, like, around that time where I was just, like, completely broke and Justin was, like, taking care of me. So, yeah, that's when I was just like, oh, shit, money, okay, I'll take it, you know?
Yeah, man, I didn't know that. So, I mean, like, do you have a good relationship with the guys from Divekick? Because, I mean, you know, I suppose they did the right thing by cutting you a check, right? But, I mean, you're still sort of a douchebag in the game, right? So, like, how does that make you feel?
I mean, the guy who made the game, like, we had a very, we had a big fight back in the TVC days, like, the Tatsuya versus Capcom days. Like, he would, like, want these characters, like, in the game. I thought the characters should be banned because they were, like, giants. Like, they were, like, fucking huge. And you only get to have, like, one giant or whatever. Doesn't matter. And then I think he ran a tournament or something, and I called him out on, like, it being dumb and blah blah blah. And we've had, like, a love hate relationship. Like, you know, usually he'll say hi to me at tournaments and stuff, and, like, we'll chat for, like, a minute or two, and then that'll be it. But, like, it's not like, I don't know. I understand what he does. Like he works for Killer Instinct now or whatever, Keats. But I mean, usually I don't care what, like, dude, like, if I cared what people said to me, like, or did stuff about me, like, I'm pretty sure I would have, like, killed myself by now. Like, because I'm just like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. I think it's, as long as I think it's kind of funny, I don't care. Like, if people make, like, the funniest funniest fat joke, and I'm just like, oh, that's fucking hilarious, good shit. Like, keep going, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care what people really think. I just let it go. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, you've also been the victim of hit pieces. So, like, this is a thing that's happening in esports now. Because esports is getting big and it's getting more mainstream, right. You've got journalists from outside of the scene that don't understand certain, how should we say, cultural kind of norms. But not only that, the only thing they're interested in is, like, tearing down what guys like yourself and guys like me and guys like Scoots and, you know, Alex Garfield, all these, like, progenitors of esports, you know, they're only interested in tearing it down to make space for themselves. They don't understand that you don't need to tear anything down. And so, you know, and certainly is, the, you know, if you want to come in, we'll make you welcome, but you can't come in and say everyone's an asshole, everyone's a racist, everyone's a piece of shit, because, you know, I'm telling you firsthand, that ain't true, right? So, you've actually had, you know, there's one that stands out to me back in 2012. And, you know, look, there was a little element of truth to the original piece. This was over at Kotaku. And it was an incident that happened at Cross Assault, which was a web series by Capcom. And I think one of the people who were involved there, not yourself, had made, like, a few remarks about a female competitor, and they did a close-up on her ass You know, which obviously you can understand why that isn't, you know, cool, right? But then I think you guys made a joke about it on a show, and then they wrote a fucking hit piece about you for referencing it. I think the only thing you said was like, yo, Giant Bomb can write an article about it. And then, like, you got named in this fucking hit piece I'm looking at right now on Kotaku, where it's like saying, you know, oh, you shouldn't make jokes about the fucking things that you had nothing to do with in the first place. So, obviously, this comes off the back of this dark time, the dive kick bullshit. So I wanted to, like, get your take on what happened in that snapshot in time. Like, you know, what's it like getting a hit piece wrote about you? What was all that shit about? And sort of how did you cope with it all?
You know, I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. Like,
you don't remember it?
No.
I'm looking at an apology.
Did I apologize?
Yeah, I'll read you your apology, motherfucker. I just wanted to say my views and personal opinions do not reflect Level Up, Evo, SRK, or the fighting game community in any company in any way. A lot of people know me as the nice but joking guy who doesn't have any bad intentions. I love this community with all my heart, and I've poured a lot of what I could into this community. I understand now that it is a very heavy topic, that's the matter of sexual harassment, that should not be lightly talked about, and I misjudged a lot of things yesterday and said things it definitely should not have. I have no excuses, and I hope everyone looks past this and onto a bright future. Martin Mahn fan. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put the article in the group chat. You can have a little look-see. But yeah, that doesn't jog your fucking memory at all?
What the fuck? Wait, where'd the video go?
Oh, you can't find none of this shit online no more.
What the fuck?
Hey, it's fucking crazy. Like, legit, trying to research the FGC is so hard because there's no, here it is.
Oh.
Is it clicking?
Okay, that's when I was banned from Level Up Commentary. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Damn.
give me the whole fucking thing there, brother.
I don't know what to give you other than apparently I made some stupid joke and, sometimes... So me as a person, right? Sometimes, like, if I feel like something's, like, really, like serious, I try to make a joke about it to, like, lighten the mood, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't really, like, make it thinking, like, oh, fuck this girl or, like, whatever, like that. Like, I don't really, like, make jokes to, like, be, like, malicious. I make jokes to, like, just... I don't like arguments, right? Like, I don't, like what... I don't like going to arguments like with my girlfriends or anybody. I just don't like that shit. I just don't like having like a very, very what's that word? What's that fucking word? When you just argue with people, fuck. Like debate. Like I just don't like that shit. I just don't think it helps anybody. Just fucking like. Making like articles or like shit like this for views and shit, right? I just think it's stupid as fuck. So I just make stupid ass jokes, and some streamer person was like, "Yeah, fuck this guy." Like, you know, if I say something bad, like nowadays when I make a tweet or something, I'm just like, "All right," I backspace a lot. I'm like, "Okay, someone can definitely say something about this, so I'm just gonna backspace it." Like, it just like stuff like that just makes me more weary of like shit. I just don't, like, shit I guess I shouldn't say, but I say it anyways when I'm not thinking. Like, I'm just like, fuck it, I think this will be funny, so I'm just gonna fucking say it, right? I don't really, like, hold myself back unless it's, like, a tweet, when I can, like, actually, like, read it and be like, did I fuck up here?
Yeah, but like, it seems crazy to me you lost a fucking, like, a gig over this, because, let's be clear, right? Like, I don't support fucking a dude zooming in on a fucking... you know, a girl's ass and talking about it and making somebody feel uncomfortable. Like, I think that's fucking, you know, disgusting. And obviously as well, there was a clip on the same show where a guy was like competing and screaming, fucking rape that bitch, right? Which is also fucking, I can say in the setting that it happened, it's not fucking cool. But what you said on a broadcast was just to sort of make a joke about, you know, oh, somebody should write, you know, a giant bomb should write an article about that. You were mocking the coverage of the incident, not the incident itself.
Yeah, I didn't think, I wasn't like, yo, maybe I'm going to do that to a girl too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like, dude, I just don't like how, like, when it happened, it blew up everywhere. And I was just like, oh, shit, like, this is looking bad, and I said some shit. But shit like this, I can't believe you brought it up, because I really don't even remember what exactly I said. I don't even remember half that apology, to be honest. I think Level Up wrote that themselves.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, this is a thing. Like, I've talked about it a lot on my, you know, podcast about, you know, Kotaku and the things they've come in and the things they've covered, right? And it's like, listen, there's been some genuine instances of, you know, sexual harassment in esports that I think definitely deserve attention and deserve coverage. And the people who engage in that stuff definitely should be held accountable. It's reprehensible. It's indefensible, right? But like, to have a hit piece wrote about you because you joked about somebody writing an article about it seems insane. And it seems even more insane to think that you lost the gig that you were very well suited to and were part of the furniture at Level Up. You know, you lost that gig for making the fucking throwaway joke that you did. And you know, and again, that was predicated on the Kotaku coverage. I look at the media, I think sometimes they really do go after the wrong fucking people, you know, and they try and take stuff away from people that really have nothing to do with what they're angry about. And I think that definitely happened to you in this instance. I don't know if you agree. I mean, you seem quite reflective on it. You're saying, well, I did say some stupid shit. You know, my theory is that based on what you said, you didn't deserve to lose your job over it. You probably deserve to be told, you know, yeah, this is actually a big deal. Can we not fucking joke about that?
Yeah, well, this stuff wasn't like a paid gig. It was like, hey, Mario, you're here. Get on the mic and say some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like, oh, commentate this match and stuff like that. It wasn't like a paid thing. Like, I just did it for fun. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I know I say stupid shit, but I just don't remember saying stupid shit, I guess. Like, it just, I'm just like, huh, what did I exactly say here? Like, I don't remember, but I guess it was pretty bad. But I know the guy who they said Christian or whatever.
Yeah.
ATR. I definitely know after this incident, he hated me, and I was like, I think we're in the same boat, dude. Like, you can't just hate me just because you got in trouble, too. Like, you definitely said the same shit to me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he was laughing and joking and going along with it. It's right there.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I don't know. Like, I don't fucking know. I don't know.
I mean, that's some crazy shit. I mean, look, to put it in perspective, right? Everybody knows about the incident that happened with me and Loda. You know, that's gone into, like, esports legend now. And by that, I mean, you know, none of what people think they know is true. But there was afterwards, right, a bunch of fans came up to me when we finished that event and said, can I take a picture of you with you choking me, right? And I thought, well, fuck it, this will be funny, you know, we'll do it for the lulz. And we took the picture and they were like, thanks, man, you're a legend, you know, signed all their autographs and stuff. And then they tweeted the picture at me and Anders retweeted it, right? And
right.
Anders got a fucking phone call straight away from DreamHack saying, yo, you can't joke about this. Remove your fucking tweet, or, you know, maybe we ain't gonna pick you up in future and all this. And like, they just, even joking about the incident that you had nothing to do with was considered, you know, taboo, forbidden. And, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think Anders or that fan really did anything wrong, you know, like, but maybe I'm being naive. Maybe I've still got a lot to learn about, you know, how the world works, right? But I know, I when I was researching all this, I was like, how the fuck did Mon get blamed for that? Like, it just seemed so weird to me that, like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, you know?
I don't know, man.
Just lucky, right? Just lucky. So anyway, right? So that brings us sort of up to 2012. Now, I don't know. It's all, again, in the mythology of Mon, it's always said that because of that Level Up incident, because of the, you know, the dive kick bullshit, because of the Guilty Gear memes, that you had then made the decision to sort of take a backward step from the fighting games scene, and you actually went into League of Legends for a while and had Team Mon. So before we start talking about the League of Legends period of your history of your life, which I'm fucking so stoked to get into, please do not cock tease me. Please do not put the tip in. I want the full fucking shaft out. I want you balls deep on this motherfucker. So, you know, was that true? Did you leave the FGC because all of these controversies have been piling up?
No, I left the FGC because I heard there was going to be a lot of money in this. That's exactly what happened. I was like, oh, shit, I heard there's going to be like 200 grand up in here. I was like, okay, I want to try this out. And that's basically what happened. I didn't leave. It was just FGC wasn't making me that much money. And I was just like, dude, let's see if this works out.
All right. So how did you get the money together to make Team Mon for League of Legends?
I had no money involvement. There was really? No money. No one on my team was salaried or anything. I straight went to the leaderboards and I went down the list and I was like, all right, who doesn't have a fucking team? I was like, okay, Mega Zero. And then me and Clakey D, we went to the same LAN center called Dream Lab, right? In yeah. Arcadia, California. And then we went to the same LAN center. I'm like, yo, Clakey, I know you're not diamond. I know you're only plat, whatever. I'm like, yo, let's make a team together. Like, and he's just like, okay, right? And then, because I was just like, dude, we're not going to fucking win this shit. We're just going to have fun, right? That's all we're going to fucking do. Let's just have fun and fucking play, okay? And then he was like, all right, let's just do it. I mean, it doesn't hurt to try, blah, blah, blah. And then we got Atomic and Heartbeat. They were like duoing in one of our games or something together. And they like played okay. And I was just like, hey, you guys want to join my team? And they're like, okay. So it was that's the five, right? Mega Zero was the highest on the leaderboards, and then just two randoms from a game, and Clakey D and me, right?
Yeah,
and
man. I remember this shit like it was fucking yesterday. It's frightening. I can't believe it's been like six fucking years or something.
And then we didn't even have a fucking team name. Like, we were all in Skype like, hey, guys, what do we do if we fucking win, blah, blah, blah. Like, what's our team name? I'm like, I don't fucking know, dude. Like, you guys think of something, and you guys come back to me, right? And then a day later, they're like, we don't fucking know. What about just Team Marn, right? They gave the name, right?
Because
before then, I sponsored a player named Wolfcrone, right? I sponsored, and I was like, oh, you're part of Team Marn, right? I didn't pay for anything. I just paid for his flight to places, right? I was just like, all right. So they're like, let's just be Team Marn too. And I was like, okay, that's fucking hilarious. Let's fucking do it. Marn without the A, right? MRN, that's it. That's what we're going to do. And then that's when it all started, dude. That's when it all started.
So you said you had no money and the guys weren't salaried. You know, if I remember, you were sponsored by Mad Cats, right? Who were well known in the FGC. And, you know, I did some work with Mad Cats way back in the day. You know, but like, what were they like a gear sponsor or what was that? Because the money, you know, you still need money to get to the tournaments, right?
No, what? Well, it was just to qualify for the LCS. That was all we were trying to do, right? So Mad Cats, they gave us the gear, right? But there was no money involved. Like I didn't even want the gear. I wanted the fucking scratches on the side of my fucking shirt, right? My shirts were fucking cool, okay? They fucking glittered. They were all nice and shiny and shit. My jerseys were sick. That's all I wanted to do, right? Because if it was just Marn by itself, it was kind of boring. But the Mad Cats little scratch thing, I thought would have been really nice, right? I was like, you know what? That's what I want, right? So then, So we didn't have fucking money for anything. You know, Mega Zero was on the East Coast. So he was playing, like, for the qualifiers, he was playing on, like, 140 ping or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the first time he came, because when we won the open qualifier to qualify, when he first came to, over to California, and he was like, dude, the character moves when I want it to move. And I was like, oh, shit. All right, that means you're going to be way better than you really are. Like, I was like, oh, shit, this is going to be good, right? Like it was fun times back then. It was a lot of bullshit.
Well, so here's a question for you. Obviously, with these controversies, you know, and you being a known figure, I know one of the things Riot Games did religiously, whenever anybody tried to get into their league, you know, LCS, when that was a thing, they vetted everybody. You know, they had intelligence on everybody. They knew everybody's shit. And they even said to a few people, you know, like, oh, maybe you shouldn't, you know, no, we'd rather you didn't, you know, like, yeah, like straight up, dog. And I noticed from some players and shit like that had, you know, oh, it's probably not worth your while because you won't get through a player behavior check. You know what I'm saying? So, like, did anyone from Riot ever come to you and be like, yo, listen, maybe not you?
Dude, they were embracing of me, dude. They wanted me. Dude, I don't know anybody who was like, yo, fuck you, Marn. Like, they straight up was just like, oh, shit. Like their fucking thing about us when we won the open qualifier, they were like, oh, this is the Cinderella story or whatever when we won and shit like that. They didn't want, I'm not saying they wanted me in, but they definitely had no problems with me.
Yeah. So I mean, did you, how much interactions did you have with like Riot Games sort of while you were on this road? Cause you know, they're a very, they've gone through phases, the company, you know, the Riot Games I always liked was sort of in the early days, like pre LCS where, you know, they were like, yeah, giving everybody like fucking free shit. They went to all the esports event, you'd see like hundreds of like red t-shirts, and they'd be like going around and getting to know people and like hanging out. And then I don't know, something changed once LCS became a reality and they became like a much stranger company. They started focusing on player behavior, people, you know, they started doing some very strange things. So did you have a lot of interactions with them back then?
I mean, I talked to Bridget a lot. I don't know if you know Bridget Davidson or something? I don't know. I forgot her last name. I talked to Bridget and Chopper a lot, but other than that, I didn't really like... No, I just, you know, they were always there just for, like, answers and questions and stuff like that. If I needed anything, they would always, like, help out. That's all.
One thing I know they must have got involved in was, like, one of the things we all used to think was brilliant was when you guys ever got kills or did ganks or messed somebody up, your team would all scream, get fucked.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's so stupid. Yeah, you guys would all literally be like, I was watching it, and you guys are, get fucked. And everyone thought it was hilarious because, you know, League of Legends was seen primarily as a kid's game at the time. In fact, there was one team, picture of a goose, I think it was. And yeah, they had qualified for a LAN event but couldn't go, because their parents wouldn't let them because they weren't old enough to play. So there was this attitude towards League of Legends back then. And you guys were fucking fresh off ladder, weren't really a team, you know, no big sponsors. You're screaming, get fucked at people.
Oh, they definitely told me to stop.
Yeah.
No, that's not happening anymore. they said you can scream however you want, but no profanity, stuff like that.
Yeah, so it became get wrecked, didn't it?
Yeah, it was because that was all my fault, right? I was like, I want you guys, while you guys are playing, to hype yourself up when you kill somebody, right? Because we're not a team, we never practice together, stuff like that. We just like straight roots, like solo queue people, just like fucking ready to just play. That's it. That's all it is, right? Like our whole strategy sucked too, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, yeah, well, let's talk about the team, because, I mean, you know, it's crazy that you guys, you know, in 2012, you know, you sort of, you had the, like you say, you had the original team, which had some people in whose names I don't even know, like Nick Wu was in that roster, and you even played in that original team, right? And then, like you say, you went on the ladder, and you brought in your Mega Zeros, your Clakey D's, Heartbeat,
Atomic.
Yeah, Atomic, that was it. So from that point, you actually, like you say, it was a Cinderella story. You know, you qualified, but then you had the split come up and things were very different. Like the Cinderella story was starting to get a little bit found out, right?
What do you mean by split?
Well, that's what they call a season. You got into the spring split, right?
So basically... So there was like an open qualifier, then there was a qualifier to get into the LCS, right?
Yeah.
So after I won the open qualifier with my team, I straight told them, I was like, I'm not good enough, right? I stepped down. I was like, I'm not good enough for the team. We should find a better mid laner so we can try to qualify. Mm. I know I'm not good enough. This has been fun. but let me just fucking like own the team and just you guys go for it, right? This is all a Skype conversation. I was just like, dude, I fucking suck. That's all it is, right? I'm not helpful for the team. So we got Echo for mid. And he was like, oh, I just play Anivia, right? That's all he fucking played. So then the qualifiers happen, right? And then they put all the managers into a Skype chat, right? And then High was in there, right? This is where I'm waiting for High, okay? High hasn't talked to me since then, but I'm waiting for him because he owes me $500,000. So I'm just letting you know, right? I'm just letting the world know right now, High owes me $500,000, okay? Because in that manager chat, everyone who was in it saw it, right? High was like, you'll never beat my team. My team is an S-tier team. You guys are like F-tier, like D-tier. You guys aren't even like close to me, right? And then we played in the qualifiers, and my team beat them, right? And I was just like, and he was like, I'll bet you any amount, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I don't have any money. He's like, I'll put $500,000 up. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then I fucking won. I'm like, where's my 500K? He looked at me. He walked away, right? I was just like, this motherfucker, dude. So we beat him, like, in a base race, like a crazy-ass base race that, like Riot put up on their YouTube or whatever. So we beat him in a base race, and then we won, and we qualified. And then everyone was mad happy and shit. And it was because, like, I think we lost, like, we went 1-2 the first day or something. And then we were, like, we were all in the hotel room that Riot provided. And I was just like, look, guys, we're not a fucking team, all right? We don't know how to fucking play this. So I want you guys to straight up play Tauric, Urgot, bottom, and then just Nocturne, like, and just fucking... I want you guys to just press R and kill one person, and it'll become a 4v5, and we'll fucking win the fight, right? We just have to kill one fucking person, right? That was our whole goal going into the fucking thing, like, the second day. I was just like, pick these two characters, and that's it. And then we'll go at that, because we were not doing it with other characters. We didn't know what to do, right? Because we didn't have fucking team chemistry or synergy or whatever. So then we went in there with my strat. We fucking fucked everybody up. It actually worked for some reason. And then everyone was like, oh shit, this bottom lane, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's so good together, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what happened. We won. And then we made it into the LCS. And then, what was your question?
Well, I was saying that's when the fucking wheels started to come off, right? Because, like, you know, you make it into the LCS. But then it was, I know, it was like everybody... Like, nobody was taking you lightly anymore. All the games suddenly seemed a little bit more difficult. And as right. we'll get into, there was stuff going on off the server as well by the sounds of stuff. So,
yeah, there was a lot of shit happening with my team. there's a lot of stuff. I'm going to say it's my fault because, like, honestly, like, I was thrown into this position. Like, seriously, like, you know, I don't know how to fucking manage shit. I don't know how to fucking, like, own a fucking team. Like, it fucking happened. It was supposed to be for fun. Like, me and Clay KD were literally at LAN Center just like, yo, let's just go ruin people's dreams, right? And we fucking made a dream, right? I was just like, dude, what the fuck happened? Like, a lot of shit happened. A lot of shit happened to the point where, like, it got to the point where I fucked over the team, I guess.
Well, yeah. So, look, let's talk about that because... You know, it was one of the first real sort of public displays of sort of, you know, this is what can happen in a team. A lot of players that were on Team Mon came out and said there was like financial
half,
issues.
Half. I'm just saying half were on my side, half was not on my side. I'm just letting
all right, okay. Know. All right. So, you know, I mean, there was this, right? I got the big famous post by Mega Zero that he put up on Reddit. And this was, you know, talking about how team owners have a lot of power in the way it's structured within LCS. And he was, I think in this, he sort of goes on, it's quite a long post, but I think he talks about how, you know, there's a line where he says, in my case, our manager decided to pay himself over 3 times as much as our highest paid player. Which, I mean, you know, you were saying there was no money in it. So, this is one thing I never understood. I always thought with Mon, There was just no fucking money. That's why nothing got done. That's why, you know, the shit with the team house went down. That's why salaries were deferred. I didn't, you know, but the way he makes it sound is that there was money, but you got most of it.
So should I start from the beginning? This is going to be long, man.
Good. That's what I wanted, brother.
Okay. So basically, when we first got into the team, so Riot provides a salary. They provide a housing stipend, right? Like they give you like a certain amount for a house or like apartments or whatever. Whatever you feel is like whatever to, you know, get your whole team together. Either they give you money and you have it, you fly yourselves from wherever you are to LA every weekend, or they give you money so you can get a house in LA or an apartment or whatever.
Right.
So since we're all new to this, it was the team's idea to get a beach house, right?
Yeah, I remember this house. Fuck me, now, dude.
Now, this house was way over the amount of what Riot was giving us, right? So I was like, all right, this is what's going to happen. We're going to use some of y'all's salaries, and we're going to split it up evenly to make up for the extra that Riot doesn't give us, right? But then whoever gets the master bedroom, Clakey D, he pays a lot more, right? Because that room was fucking nice. It had a balcony, like a walk-in closet. It fucking, like, it had everything.
Okay.
So everyone agreed to that. Everyone was like, okay, sure, whatever. And then everyone signed the lease, right? Except for me. And people are like, oh, why didn't Martin sign the lease, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I have bad credit, okay? Mm-hmm. I just don't have any credit at all. It's not going to work out for me, right? So everyone else signed it, right? And before we signed with Riot and everything, I was like, look, guys, look. The salaries, we're all going to split it, right? Mm-hmm. And real shit, I said, I want to take some of it too. We're all going to split it evenly, to me too. Right? And Megazero was like, why you? And I'm like, I fucking made the team. Eat a dick. I straight up said that. I was like, I made the team. We made it. You know, it was random. Whatever. We're going to split it all. Right? And it wasn't even that much like a month for everybody. It was just like, whatever. It was a good amount, but it wasn't crazy. Right? So, also, Riot's like, oh, when you make it into the LCS or whatever, we'll help you out. You know, like, we'll find you sponsors and stuff like that. And I'm telling you, throughout the whole split, I was trying to find sponsors. It was not working. Like, there was one sponsor who approached me, Mobifier. Mobifier was like, hey, man, like, you know, we can pay you a certain amount a month, whatever, you know, if you guys start writing guides and stuff, you know, if your players write guides and stuff for you. And I'm like, hey, guys, look, we have an opportunity to make more money, right? We just have to write guides for fucking your champions or whatever, right? No one fucking did it, right? No one worked on it. No one cared about it. And I was just like, all right, well, that's fucking done. We're not going to fucking get money from there. Like, no one wants to do it. Everyone's, like, either watching shows when they're not playing or they're just, like, fucking around, right? And I'm just like, okay, whatever. Like, I guess this is it. All right. So then I think the season was from, like, February to, like, April or May or something like that. It ended either in May or June, right? But the thing that Riot doesn't tell you is they don't give you the fucking housing or the fucking salary for that month of relegations, right? If you get relegated, we're gonna fucking hurt, right? We're gonna have no money for the fucking house, right? So we get relegated, and the real estate agent is like, hey, so we need this money, right? And I'm just like, oh, fuck, right? So I'm like, all right, guys. So it's like $500-$600 more each person this month because straight up, we're not getting back into the LCS. I can get us out of this contract because someone else is willing to rent the house, right? So if they take over the lease, then we're fine, right? But we need to pay for this month, right? So I took out that money from them. It was like I think 14 to 17. I don't fucking know. It was a lot of fucking money that month, right? And since Riot pays me, and then I pay the players, Riot paid me, and then I said, okay, this is what you guys are getting this month. Sorry, we're fucking done, right? Everyone's going to go home. we're not here anymore. So everyone left, but they didn't help me clean up the house or like replace the broken tables or like anything that they fucking did with the house. I had to do it myself, right? Mm-hmm. Flaky D came and his brother Nick Wu came, and we would like, you know, like do some shit to like fix up the house and stuff like that. And then I paid for the month. I paid for the month, and then we got out. And then I got.
I've got the numbers in front of me here, because this is what blew my fucking mind at the time, that apparently Riot had cut you a check for $80,000, which was for 5 months' living expenses. Is this accurate?
Is that salary or the housing?
I think that's the housing stipend.
No.
Is that not accurate?
No.
How much was the housing stipend for 5 months?
Am I allowed to say? I don't know.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
It's like $5,000 a month.
So $5,000 a month.
Yeah.
Which still isn't bad, right? I mean, you know, it just seems crazy to me that you guys had sort of... I still to this day don't understand why you would all in on a fucking beach house. It's just so insane. Like
thought we fucking made it, man.
it's great if someone else is paying for it, you know. But if you know, it's so crazy like that, because I remember at the time, like I said, I've dug up my old article, which was called Serial Mismanagement, because I'm clever like that. You know, it says here that you guys, you know, like literally couldn't make rent, that you needed help. You know, like actual financial help on top of the $5,000 a month and the salaries that were coming in and anything else that came in. And that's
nothing
like just
else came in though.
Yeah, right.
Riot actually didn't help us get sponsors. We couldn't get sponsors. We were like the smallest team, like nobody's, like, you know what I'm saying? Like it was just very hard. You know?
Yeah. So anyway, sorry, go back to where you were. You were talking about how you were like tagging at the house, Nick Wu was there helping you out.
Yeah, so after everything, after I paid like the real estate agent and stuff like that, like I'll send you like I guess no one else would see this, but I'll send it to you. So this is what I'm like. So I fixed up the house and I messaged everyone. I was like, look, so we're all good on the money, right? Like that's why, like on my blog post or whatever, I straight up was like, look, these are the texts that people sent me. Like I said, we're good on the money. We're fine with the money. Like I don't owe anybody anything. And everyone's like, yep, we're good. We're good. We're good. And then all of a sudden, I'm at a fucking tournament, like Curly Mustache. And then my phone starts blowing up. Everyone's like, yo, fuck you for stealing money from your players and shit like that. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't know what the fuck happened. Like, I'm like, okay, like, first of all, if I stole money, I would be fucking, I would not be in Justin's house right now asking him money for food. I would definitely have money somewhere. Like, I don't have fucking money. I don't know what you're talking about. I spent the money that I saved because I took it out of whatever, so we split it six ways. I saved that to pay the month of rent. And then so Riot was all like, hey man, you know everyone's saying you owe this amount of money. And I'm like, dude, you understand it went to rent, right? Like here is the letter that the real estate is gonna send to you.
Yeah,
like,
I can see that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, dude, like I'm fucked. And then they're like, oh, well, you're gonna need to give us this amount of money, you know, so we can pay back your players. And I'm like, I don't fucking have it. And they're like, well, we don't want to make a big deal, but it'd be nice if you never came back to the LCS. And I'm like, oh fuck, dude, because I feel like my eye scouting skills are pretty good. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm pretty good at, like, finding, like, good players and stuff. So I was kind of sad about that. But I understood where they were coming from, because I was just like, you know, I did fuck up. I didn't know what to do. And that's my fuck up. Like, I fucked up because I completely was put into – I put myself into a position that I was not ready for. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like, well, that's it. That's the end of that. And, you know,
and real talk as well. Like, I remember some pictures coming out at the time. I mean, those players fucked that house up, dude. Like, you know, it had hardwood floors. There was like scuffs and fucking burns. There was like fucking trash all over the place. Like, I mean, the house needed some fucking repairs. And like, those guys were only in it for like 5 months or something, right? Like, I mean,
three, four months, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, like I understand. Like, I mean, look, as a guy that's like gone after unscrupulous managers, like and people who abuse players and stuff, my entire career. You know, I'll be the first guy to fucking throw anyone under the bus. I don't give a fuck who you are or how well I know you. If you're doing that shit, I'm coming for you. But like, real talk, players have got to take a little bit of responsibility as well, because it could have been a hell of a lot worse. You know, there's damages to pay, right? Like, obviously the deposit ain't coming back.
And then on the top of that, my name's not even on the lease. Shouldn't have paid for any of this. If I just gave the players the money, they would have had to pay for this anyway. So I just cut out the middleman. I just fucking did it myself. So if I actually just transacted the money to the players, and then the players paid back this anyways, we would have never had a problem. But because I didn't do that to the players, and I did it straight to the real estate agent, that's where Riot's problem came, right? So I was just like, well, I'm screwed. The only fucked up thing I did throughout this whole thing was I took my cut. I took the same cut as everyone else. I didn't get three times more money. I didn't fucking do anything. Like, I took the same amount, because I'm not going to lie to you. I thought, hey, man, like, if I don't do anything here, like, I'm not going to make any money. Like, what am I going to do? I made the fucking team. No one thought they were going to make it into the LCS. We fucking made it. Like, where am I going to get my money from? You know what I'm saying? That's what my thought process was.
Yeah, no, I can understand that.
But I never fucking took three times the amount of money. I don't know where he got that from. It makes no fucking sense. Like, I gave Riot what they needed. Like, they were like, yo, so what did the real estate agent say? I'm like, oh, here you go. This is what she said. And they're like, oh, well, you still fucked up. Okay, bye. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm done. That's it. That's the end of that. Like, I can't defend myself.
Yeah, well, what about, because there was some other money that came in, like when you guys were struggling because the sponsors didn't turn up. I know that there was some like public donations, right?
Yeah, we had a GoFundMe for like tables and chairs for our place. Like we it wasn't, because that was before Riot gave us the money, right? So the funniest thing is, since no one put up like the deposit, I straight up had to tell my brother to put like transfer me money. I was just like, dude, just transfer me money. When Brian pays us, we'll pay you right back. That's all it is. So we got a little less for our first month because we paid my brother back for the deposit, and then we lost the deposit. So I'm just like, well, that's. I'm like, dude, my brother would have been pissed if we fucking did. Yeah. So a lot of fucked up things happened, but I don't think a lot of it was on me like he said it was. Like, I just think he wanted extra money for some reason. And like, it was him, Heartbeat, and Echo, I think, that were against me. Atomic, Clakey D, and Nien were like, they were just like, no, like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. He did it completely fair. So it was a 50-50, but obviously the person who voices it out more, obviously they're going to get more people on their side and shit, right? So obviously, like, Clakey, Nien, and Atomic were just like, no, we don't want any part of this. We're not going to, like, defend you, but we're not going to say anything about it. We're just going to keep quiet. So they just didn't want any more, like...
Well, what about, because I remember as well, didn't Marcus, didn't DJ Wheat try and help you out at one point as well?
Yeah, I think he got me in contact with Tobias, Toby, and instead of them sending the computers to us, because we didn't have computers either, so we needed a computer sponsor, which was, I think... They got us like CyberPower, like, or iBuyPower. One of these like computers companies, they were like, all right, we'll give you six computers. And instead of sending it to us, they sent it to their office in Vegas. So I had to drive to Vegas and pick up these fucking computers. All right. So I went out there and I got these computers. I fucking drove out there. I got it from them. And then after that, it was like, they were like, oh, we'll make a deck for you, stuff like that. But then, once we got relegated, it was just like, oh, it's over. Because, Wheat was, like, very, very helpful. And I was supposed to actually, like, give him, like, a cut. And this is where I fucked up, right? Because, like, once I had to pay off the real estate, I was just like, there's no more money, dog. Like, I can't help. I mean, I can't, like, and hold up my end of the bargain with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't that much money for weed. It was like, whatever. He definitely, I'm pretty sure he doesn't care.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, I just felt really bad because all this shit happened. And at the end of the day, I'm just like, dude, I can't help you. I can't. Like, I'm fucked here. And then now all this fucking shit 2 months later, fucking MegaZero is just coming at me with this shit. I'm just like, dude, like, everything just came crashing down at that moment. And I was, at that point, I was like, I actually went into this thinking I was going to make money, but I came out of it with zero money anyways. So it actually was not worth it. Like, it was a nice, you know, 3 months in a beach house and we were all hanging out and stuff like that. But then once it all ended, they fucking turned on me and I was just like, well, that's that, dude. I don't know what to tell you, dude.
So here's a question for you. Like, while all this shit's fucking crashing down around you and you admit that you're out of your depth, right? So why the fuck didn't you go and, like, grab somebody to help you out? You must have known, like, a manager or, you know, like, you were in EG even. Like, couldn't you, like, you know what I mean? It must have been somebody you could have talked to, right? Or not?
I was talking to a lot of people during this time. I was talking to fucking Jason Lake. Like, you know, I was like, dude, like, how should I make these contracts and stuff like that? I was trying to ask people, like, a lot of stuff to learn. But I never got to that point where I was like, oh, I'm a great team owner. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a fucking horrible one. Like, it was just like, I don't know how to, like, talk to people for sponsors and stuff like that. You know, and then, like, at this time, people weren't buying out teams and stuff like that. So I was just like, you know, if I had just made it probably, like, another season or two, I would have been a millionaire. I would have been like, all right, I'm out. Just give me my fucking $1 million and I'm out. Like, I would have fucking sold it right away. Like, and even during this time, I could have completely replaced my whole team. Like, I could have replaced my whole team with Koreans because it was like Riot didn't care what you did, right? So I thought that was the play. I was like, I could just kick everyone out and just fucking add some Koreans to my team and I'll be a top tier team, right? That was my easy way out, right? So
yeah,
like mid season, like, no, I'm like 70% of the way through the season, right? I was just like, dude, like, you know, our team isn't working out. We need to replace, you know, Heartbeat, right? Because Heartbeat, like, I don't want to be that rough on him, but, like, you know, he was a good guy, but, like, he would not take criticism, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm not trying to, like, be a thing, but he has a high ego, right? He had a high ego, so he wasn't taking any of that shit. And then this is where I kind of knew it could have, like, it should have went downhill, like, We all had a team meeting while Heartbeat went home to visit family. And we were like, we need to get rid of Heartbeat, right? Heartbeat's the problem on our team. He doesn't listen. We try to make him listen throughout the season. He doesn't listen to us. You know, he's always right. We're always wrong. When five people are against him, he's always the right one, right? So they're like, hey, Marn, since you're the team owner, you got to tell him. We're not going to tell him together, blah, blah, blah. Right, so when he gets back, we're gonna go out to eat, and you tell him that we're gonna kick him off.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone leaves. He comes back. Right, I take him outside, take out a cigarette. I'm like, oh man, Heartbeat, we gotta talk. You know, I don't think you're good for the team. We're gonna change you out. We're gonna change it. He's like, what? What have I done wrong? I'm like, we've told you everything you've done wrong, man. Like, you just don't listen to us. And he's just like, oh, okay. And I'm like, sorry, dude. You know, it's just best for the team, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, all right. So he goes to the room. He goes to his computer. He just sits down. He just starts, like, just, like, watching shows, right? And I go to my room, and I take a nap, right? And I wake up to Heartbeat crying in the living room. Everyone going, yo, it was Marn's fault. It was Marn's idea, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and I'm in my room listening to this, and I'm just like, are you fucking serious right now, dude? So I go outside, and they're like, yeah, Marn, you know what? We're going to keep Heartbeat on the team. You know, you shouldn't have told him that he was off the team, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it was Joel's idea in the first place for me to tell him that he's off the team. And then now that he starts crying, guys.
I have been fucked so many times like that by players. Like, because I used to be a manager too, right? Like, right. Way back when. And I cannot tell you, when I used to manage Counter-Strike teams, you know, you would be there and you'd be like, hey, you know, my door's always open. Like, you guys ever need to tell me anything? You just come to me. players would come and go, yo, you know, it's fucking David. He's fucking not good enough. You know, he's not putting in the practice. He's like super negative. It's like making us all down. Like, we've already got a replacement lined up, you know, like, will you just tell him he's off the team? And I'll be like, okay, guys, you know, are we sure this is all unanimous? Because I'll back you, right? If you four guys want this guy to go, I'll make him go. I'll do it. And then, like, you go in and you sit David down. You say, yo, David, like, listen, it ain't nothing personal. It's like breaking up with a fucking, you know, a chick. Right? You're like, you know what I'm saying? You're like, listen, it's us. It's not you. You know, like, I'm sure there's plenty more fish in the sea. You're going to be great. You know, you're going to be golden, but it's just not working. You know, you frame it like whichever way possible. And then, of course, they get defensive and they go and talk to the players. And the players all go, ah, shit, we don't even know, man. We don't even know. Like, we don't even know why. Like, and you're like, what? Whoa. I like David, you fucking pieces of shit. What the fuck? You make me do your dirty work? Yeah, I got done like a million times like that, brother. Like,
yeah, then so, the whole time, fucking heartbeat just like, completely ignored me for the rest of the season, dude. Like, I'm just like, dude, it wasn't my fault. Like, what the? He like never talked to me. Every time I asked him a question, it'd be like, yes, no, and that's it. Like, I'm just like, well, that's the end of my relationship with him, dude. Like,
yeah, that's some fucked up shit. But look, you know, so I'll sort of get to the end of the whole, you know, Mon situation, because there's still some stuff I want to talk about before we wrap up the show. But like, you know, it was a very public sort of collapse. Like, I'd never seen anything like that in LCS, you know, at that point. I'd never seen anything in League of Legends. I knew there were a lot of amateurish teams, but this was like just such a spectacular fucking dumpster fire, and nobody was keeping any secrets. It was like, yeah, this happened and this happened, and it was all just out there. And it was like, it was great as a journalist at the time. It was like, fuck yeah, I write about this shit all day, you know. But you know, it sort of, in a way, it did contribute positively to League of Legends development. They had to come up with some rules to make sure all the shit that went wrong with Team Mon couldn't happen again. So, in a way, you did make a positive contribution to, you know, LCS present and future.
Yeah, but not for me.
Well, no, no,
like,
no.
I'm already gone. Like, it can't happen again.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you said that. So to be clear, Riot sort of said that after that, you couldn't own a team again or you wouldn't be welcome back in the league.
So basically, they said they didn't want to make it public. They were just, you know, like, it's not, they said something about it's not like 100% completely your fault, but it is your fault kind of thing. Like, but let's just like sweep it under the rug and just like end it, whatever. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right. But they did say LCS, so I was like, you know what? It's time to go to Vietnam and make a team. Because that's that part of the LCS, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Just as a final point as well, though, I mean, you know, look, you definitely made some mistakes, and you definitely fucked up. You know, I'm not going to pretend that you did.
I know that.
Yeah, yeah, and I know you don't need me to tell you that, right? But, like, I got to say, some of the shit, like, for me, and I've been in the situation again in the past, you know, when you have like contractual obligations and players don't want to meet them, you know, like the thing with the guides blows my mind. Like the idea that, you know, people were going to pay you, you know, all this money for the players just to sit down and write a guide, you know, one a week, you know, two a month, whatever
one
it was.
One a month, man.
Yeah. Right. Like why is like, I'd be furious with those guys. That would be like, the fucking Riot Act would get read right there, you know? Like, I remember I had a company one time called Ceratech. They used to make those Zed boards, you know, the World of Warcraft
themed keys.
Yeah, right? And they gave us, like, £10,000 to go to an event where if we won it, we lost the team, right? That's how good a sponsor they were, right? It was for the CGS. And they gave me £10,000, and all they said was, record vlogs. And write a blog. That's it. Just make it look like you're having a good time. And I was like, can do, Mr. Sponsor, sir. And then I went away, and I'm trying to get the players to do that shit. I had to write the fucking blogs pretending I was the players. So I was like, you know, there was a guy in it called Ben, Benno. I used to have to fucking be like, how dumb is Ben? So I can, like, dial my writing down so it sounds like him, you know? Like, yeah. How many spelling mistakes would Ben make? Like, this is, like, the shit I had to do. And I was like, you do understand if you don't do this, we've got no fucking money. This apartment we're in goes away. The contest you're in, no money. You know, like, they were like, yeah, but come on, Rich, you've got this covered. I'd be like, fucking hell. They'd be like, you're not doing anything. We've got to play. Oh, man. It's some stressful ass shit when you can't bring players in line to do the stuff that you got to get them to do, you know?
Yeah, it's rough, man.
But, like, you ever, I mean, like, do you still talk to any of the guys from back then?
I talk to the other team's players, like Dyrus and stuff. I don't talk to my players because, you know, Clanky D, he works for Riot now, and he does all the broadcasting stuff.
Yeah,
so
he does. I'm happy
for him for all that, but other players, nah, we don't talk anymore. Mm. Especially Mega Zero. We definitely don't talk anymore.
So it was that bad. Bridges officially burned.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Like, if anything, he could have told me himself, like, hey, man, I think you owe me money. Mm. First, before he just made a fucking public-ass post like this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Didn't know this was coming?
No, dude, I told you. I was back in a fighting game tournament when my phone blew up. I did not have any, like, hey, man, you owe us money. Like, none of that. Like, none of that came to me. So I'm just like, well, that's it.
So, I mean, look, it's been a long time since then. You know, you're 30 years old right now. Congratulations on hitting 30. Trust me, brother, you've got two more years. two more years where you're actually a fully working, functioning human being. And then after that, it's dog shit, right? I'm not kidding. But, like, you know, would you ever want to be a team owner, a team manager again? You know, would you ever want to build a brand, bring Team Mon back, move into some other esports titles now that you're a little bit older, a little bit wiser, learned a few lessons along the way?
No, I'd rather be under a team. Like, I don't think being a team owner is my type of style. Like, there's too much being social involved, and that's just not me, dude. Mm.
All right, well, you know, that's all well and good. You talked about being on a team. Obviously, you know, you're with Ryze right now, right?
Yeah.
So how's that all working out for you? Because it's like you say, you spend a little bit of time in the wilderness, doing your own thing, being your own man. Now you're back sort of, you know, with a sponsor, going to events, shit. Like, I finally got to meet you in person at E-League. So how's it all going?
I mean, after LCS, right, I left... I just straight said, look, I have no money. I'm going to go to Vietnam, right? My mom was like, yo, you need to come to Vietnam. I've never been there before. I was like, all right, I'm coming to Vietnam. I go there. I'm just like, I love this place, right? And I opened up an internet cafe. It's fucking going fantastic. And then Capcom hits me up and they're like, hey, we want you on E-League, right? After I was streaming for a bit and I got like funds to go to tournaments back in like 2016. And I was doing very well for some reason because I was just like just playing just to play and have fun. So it was like really well. It was good. And Capcom was like, hey, we want you on E-League, blah, blah, blah. And then Ryze was like, hey, we want you on the team. And then I sold my internet cafe and moved back to America because I feel like the financial stress on Ryze was, you know, flying back and forth from Vietnam to America was very, very, very expensive. So I went back to America, and now I live with Justin, Flash, and it's been good. Like, you know, I mean, other than EG, I haven't had a team really, and Ryze takes care of me, like, really well, and I've never really had that much fun. Like, I never got to, like, be like, yo, you know, my boss is like, my boss Reem, he's like, yo, let's come play some Diablo, or like, let's play some Monster Hunter, you know, like we just like play other games other than fighting games and like we have fun and mumble and stuff. So it's actually like very non-stressful being on this team. I love this team a lot, you know. They pay on time, they're never wrong, you know. They're always like, hey man, you know, you need anything, you need this, blah blah blah. I'm like, dude, I need $30 for the gym, I'm gonna start the gym. They're like, yo, I got you, blah blah blah. You know, he's so helpful that like I like the situation I'm in right now.
Well, what about competing? I mean, like, how are you feeling, you know, in that? Because it's like, you know, there is this, you know, younger generation coming through in the FGC. They're all looking pretty tight, pretty polished. I've seen a few of the older guys, you know, they admit that because of the way life is, you know, especially Alex Valle, you talk to him about it. You know, he's like, listen, I got my own business. I got my own things going on. Like, I can't dedicate the time that I need to even hang with these young guys anymore. So I'll come out and I'll play for fun. But honestly, like, I'm not really a competitor anymore. Like, I'm moving on to the next phase in my life. Now, I know Alex Valle is a lot older than you. But, you know, I think once you start putting a three at the start of your age or beyond, you probably do need to start thinking about, you know, how much longer can I keep being the guy that bashes the buttons? So how are you feeling right now, you know?
I mean, last year I did not do well at all. Not even in the E-League, you know. I left kind of E-League kind of early, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, you did, brother. Straight out of fucking Vietnam as well, I noticed. I was like, yo, let's go out and get fucking lit. And you were like, nah, see ya, dog. Yeah, fuck this. All right.
I don't really, like, I try to compete, but, like, it's not like I'm not, like, the best, or I can't try to be the best anymore. I feel like I'm really too old for that. So I go out, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, hey, Ryze, you know, you should pick up this guy, you know, you should pick up Mena, you know, like, it's just, I feel like he'll do good. And then he wins Capcom Pro Tour, you know, and usually I do more shows than I do good at tournaments, like E-League, I did ESL Brawlers.
Yeah.
I just filmed like a month of a show of this, like this show in Malaysia that's coming out next month. And I'm mostly more of like an image and a personality more than like a winner.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of worth something. You know what I'm saying? It's not like worthless. Just because I don't win, I feel like I can still do a lot in the community rather than just win. I can show my personality.
But I mean, like you still want to go to events. You still want to be on the stage. Like none of that's getting kind of boring for you yet.
It's never boring, dude. Like I'm not like really a gamer, right? Like I play games just to beat people who think they're good. That's like gatekeeper. I don't really you know, I can beat anyone, but I can also lose to anyone. It's like it's kind of hilarious in a way. Like I don't think. Like, I don't play, like, random games on the side for fun. Like, you know, Ryze told me to play Monster Hunter. I played it for, like, 30 minutes. And I was like, I can't do this. Because I just want to be competitive, right? I just want to fuck other people up. Like, I don't care if I'm, like, 40 or 50. I'm going to still try, you know? It's just, like, I just don't think people are as good as they say they are. And they could definitely, you know, I just beat Daigo, like, 3 months ago. And he thought he was good, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Well, what about jumping into some, like, the, you know, other, like, fighting games that are coming out right now, you know? Like, you've been a guy, like, a lot of FGC OGs, you know, you've kind of moved around, you've played various titles, competed at various titles. Is there anything, right now, that could be, like, a lateral shift for you, like a new game that's coming out, something where you think you can take your experience and maybe go blow that game up? Because, obviously, we all know the big ones. We got Tekken coming at E-League soon, you know? And obviously, you've done a lot of great work in all the Street Fighter iterations, you know, Marvel versus Capcom, all of that stuff. But what about some of the other fighting game titles out there? You ever think, like, fuck it, I'm just going to go play that game over there and see what happens?
I mean, I'm playing Dragon Ball FighterZ right now.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a good game, but I don't think it'll be better than Street Fighter V.
Okay.
I play it just to, like, again, just to beat other people. But I think Street Fighter V is like the main game that people should be focusing on right now. Until Dragon Ball like goes, hey, there's going to be a pro tour or a circuit, you know, I don't think it can grow higher than it's already at.
Well, I mean, Dragon Ball FighterZ got fucking added to Evo. I mean, right? They announced that this month. So you could be another Evo champ, right? If you get your shit together.
Too old, man. Too old, dude. Like, my stamina. Like at the end of, like, so tournaments now, they don't just go Saturday and Sunday anymore. They start on Fridays. And by, like, Saturday morning, I'm like, man, fuck me. I just want to go home and sleep in my bed. Like, you know, it's just like, I'm not there anymore. It's just a lot. Oh, I guess that maybe I'm just not good anymore, dude.
Yeah. Well, fucking man, it happens to everybody. You know, wine turns to fucking vinegar. That's how it goes, you know? Like, fuck, we're all dealing with that shit. Look, just before I let you go, though, I want to spend like 10 minutes or so just talking about something that's close to my heart. Because, you know, I came into the FGC, I've said it before, people probably don't know, like, what really hooked me into esports or what sort of became esports. Because, like, way back in, like, 99, I was hearing about esports, right? Competitive gaming, cyber athletes, like, whatever fucked up bullshit term they were using back then. And I was too busy doing, like, jock things, you know? I was, like, boxing, I was, like, playing rugby. That was what I was about. I was like, fuck those nerds, you know? I ain't never going to play no video games. But I did, you know? Like, after I'd come back from the gym, I'd play, like, fucking Tekken, you know, Street Fighter or whatever with my boys. You know, when GTA 3 came out on the PS2, that was the shit. We were all used to fucking get stoned and play that all day, trying to do all the stunt jumps. And then, I heard there was a Tekken competition. And it was in South Wales and stuff. And, you know, I was like in a barn and I drove down and I got to see what was like grassroots FGC fighting. And ever since then, it was like I was hooked. I was hooked with everything esports. By 2004, 2005, I was writing about Counter-Strike and I just never looked back ever since. It was the FGC that hooked me into it. But when I came in to the FGC and was doing stuff in E-League, like, shit just got fucking weird immediately. Like, there was people, like, saying I shouldn't be allowed to be involved. There was, like, people from big companies, like, saying, you know, fuck E-League, fuck eSports, fuck all this razzle-dazzle. You know, and I was, like, one of the guys who was like, no, we got to get into the FGC. Like, I was super pumped for it. I thought the FGC would be pumped for it, too. But there was people in there, and it was just, like, weird and fucking political. And then everything I did, it seemed to upset somebody. Like, I said something, some people would be like, yeah, dog, that's raw. And then, like, another guy would be like, that's completely unacceptable for the FGC. You know, me and Ultra David talked a lot about it. Like, he was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't shout out this person or this person. I'm like, why not? They're fucking, it's all right. I name-dropped Kappa, r/Kappa, on fucking, you know, the TV broadcast. Everyone lost their goddamn minds about that. Apparently, I'm not supposed to acknowledge they exist. I don't know why. Seems like once you get through all the fucking anime porn, it seems like a pretty good, subreddit, right?
For a place that calls me like irrelevant, they have me on there like once a week, like a post about me once a week, and I'm just like, you know what, whatever, man. Like, I don't go there. People are like, hey, did you see this thread about you? And I'm just like, what? Oh my god, damn it, not again, dude.
But it just seems like such a very political, like, it's more esports is full of bullshit and full of politics. We talked about that, but the FGC seems to have more fucking politics and like minefields than almost any scene I've ever worked in. I got fucking journalists telling me I shouldn't be involved, nicknaming me Donkey Boy, talking about me in code like I'm fucking Voldemort. Like, what did I do? I just came in, wanted to do a fucking job, right? So, I mean, is this how it is? Is this how it's always been? Or is this, like, growing pains because we're becoming more esports, more polished?
I mean, that's why you always hear the word Illuminati in the FGC, right?
Yeah.
It's always like, you know, like, oh, shit, like, Capcom controls everyone behind the scenes and shit like that. But, like, I don't know. I've never heard of all this stuff before. I just don't. I'm just, like, a bystander, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, whatever I read and stuff, I just don't like Kotaku. I just don't like Kotaku at all. All their fucking articles about everything is just trash. It's just like they see like one controversy, they're like, oh, time to put it up here. But anything that like positive happens, they're just like, eh, it's all right. You know, it's just like a lot of people, maybe they're just scared. A lot of times, like when people actually make articles, it's about the negativity, not the positive stuff. So, I mean, that's all I see, like, just the negative shit. And I don't think it's that political.
It's tough then, right? Because, like, yeah, you do see a lot of the negative shit. But, like, sometimes, like, I don't know what the right answer to this is. Because I see, like, you know, I like the pop-offs. I like people getting in people's face. I like drama. I like hype. I like WWE theatrics. I like people being fucking raw. And, like, sometimes it isn't fun and games, you know, like we saw with the K. Brad Wolfcrone thing. Sometimes two dudes can just genuinely dislike each other, like 100% actually fucking dislike each other. But then, like, you try and, you know, point to that and go, that is FGC. And then you got these motherfuckers saying, oh, no, no, that's terrible. You only focus on the negative. To me, that feels like authentic grassroots. You know, that's what I saw back in 2001 or whatever the fuck. And that's what I want to preserve. But people seem to not like it. You know, it's like a very divided community right now.
Because it's like half wants it to be esports and half wants it to go back into the dark era, right? Mm. Where like fucking there was no money to be made. It was just playing the game, right? Obviously, a lot of people want to make a living out of it and shit. So obviously, you know, the negative stuff that they think is negative, they're just like, nah, fuck that. We don't want to see that shit. And it's just like, you know, I like it. Like, you know, I don't hold myself back. I just say, fuck it. I don't give a fuck. Like, if you hate me, you hate me. You know, you probably already hate me, so it's like pointless for me to like hold back, right? Like, and the people who like, you know, me just being real, it's just like that's what I want to be. Like, I don't want to be fake just because, oh shit, it's esports, but then I don't care. Like, I don't really care if in the end it's like esports or the dark era. Like, I can do my own thing and still be, you know, people just care about shit too much, man. People just don't want to just relax. It's just like there's so much shit going down in days, dude. Like, social media should never have happened. Like,
it's a mistake.
Yeah, all this shit, dude. Just people feel so entitled now. It's just it's actually fucking crazy how much they fucking. They're just like, oh shit, you said something bad. Fuck you, man. Go die. I'm just like, damn, dude. I don't know. Other than, like, people fucking making up the word shill and just calling people shills. Like, that's been happening for the past year. That's fucking annoying as shit. Like, I wish Capcom just fucking sent me checks all day for, like, you know, like...
It's just, yeah, but... yeah, you can't say anything positive about the fucking developers. Like, I went through this shit recently with, like, you know, I'm saying it's okay for ESL to sell broadcasting rights to Facebook because y'all motherfuckers don't pay for nothing. You know, like, and that makes me a shill, apparently. I didn't get no check. I'm just talking about economic realities. You know, I see it posted all the time now, like, oh, Richard Lewis used to be anti-Old Boys Club. Now he's in the Old Boys Club. Where's my brandy and cigar, motherfucker? I'd love to be in an Old Boys Club right now because I am an old boy. I want my fucking money. I want my fucking paycheck. I want my brandy and cigars. I've spent 15 fucking years being poor trying to keep it real and tell it like it is, and this is how it is. You all want content for free all the fucking time. Well, someone's got to pay for that. This time it's Facebook. People didn't want that fucking medicine, you know, and there was no spoonful of sugar to help it go down. So, yeah, I've been called a shill too, dude. It seems so stupid that you can't see anything positive about the developers or, like, you considered, you know, a bad guy, right?
Yeah, they're just trying to make money doing what their business is made to do, dog. Like, it's just like, fuck. Dude, whatever they do, it's just like, okay, like, I understand what they're trying to do, but like, why is so many people just like, oh, fuck this shit, like, fuck Capcom, oh yeah, Dragon Ball FighterZ is the next shit, fuck Capcom shills, blah blah blah. And I'm like, dude, like, can we just all play the games we like to play? Like, can we just all, like, be positive and just, like, I don't have to go, like, I play League sometimes and I have fun playing League, but I don't go, yo, fuck Dota, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter. It's just like, I play the game I like to play, and people just like, nah. You know, like, it is. I feel like it's mostly the people who don't even really play the game. Like, they just watch the game.
Yeah, dude, like, you're fucking so on point about that. Like, the people all in my fucking mentions, it's like, you know, they play it, like, casual at best, you know? It's all fucking, like, anime avatars and furries and shit all coming after me, and I'm like, I'm glad you found a place in esports where you feel welcome, but, like, what, can't you see how fucked up it is for you to drive other people out and say, it's got to be this way, it's got to be the way I want it, you know? Like, because what if people said that about you? What if people said, yo, like, we don't want any weebs all up in this?
All they're going to say is, oh, well, I'm not even part of anything, so it doesn't really matter what they say to me. This is like, it's so stupid that they can say stuff and they think it matters, but when you say stuff back at them, they're just like, nah, it's all right, dude.
Look, because we're coming to the end, man. Like, shit, we could have gone another fucking 2 hours. But, like, but listen, right? So, what do you think is the, like, biggest change that you could make to the whole FGC? You know, you're Emperor fucking Mon. You've got godlike powers. You can do whatever the fuck you want to kind of just make it, like, a better place. Because I definitely think you can keep the FGC raw, keep the pop-offs, keep the fucking drama, keep the fucking earthiness of what makes the FGC great, and have the esports money and the esports platform. I think you can do both, but I don't think a lot of people think you can. So what would you do? What's the one change you would make to make the FGC, you know, have this wonderful, bright future that it should have?
Get rid of all the negative Nancys, dude.
Like, who are they?
Just all of them, dude. Fucking, I would fucking destroy R Kappa. That's my first fucking line of action.
They like me over there, man. I gotta.
Do they? Because they're not about to like you for having me on the show, dude. Dude, they flip flop so much, dude. Like, 1 week they're fucking like they're like, yo, Justin, you fucking fat fuck, go die and shit. The next week they're like, oh shit, Justin's so fucking cool, dude. Like, they don't have a fucking set mind frame, dude. They're a fucking hive mind, dude.
Well, yeah. Look, as long as I'm on the good side of that, I don't give a fuck. But yeah, you're right. I've said that.
Are you serious? The first time they were like, yo, why is this fucking Richard Lewis on Ely? He don't fucking play fighting games and shit. Are you serious?
Yeah, and then I rocked the fucking show, and then it was all good, right?
No. Like, all you did was say R Kappa on the show, and they're like, oh, shit, what a god. Yo, welcome to the community, bro.
Why do you think stand-up comedians always open the set with, yo, it's great to be in fucking Cleveland. I love it here, right? You know, no one wants to be in fucking Cleveland. What are you talking about? Motherfuckers trying to get out of Cleveland their whole life, you know? Like, obviously. So that's how you do it, man. It makes people, you know, they warm to you. They're fucking, you ingratiate yourself to them, you know? But on a serious note, I mean, like, obviously, sure, okay, I'll let you destroy our capper on the side. But, like, would you change anything about tournament structure? Like, who the power players are? Like, you know, Evo or, you know, anything like that. Is there anything you think you could do to shift the landscape to make the FGC a better place? Like, should the developers have, like, more influence, less influence?
I mean, obviously, the developer... I don't know. I just feel like nowadays, like, developers need to put, like, more... I'm not trying to be a douche, but, you know, put more money into, like, their games, like, to support it, like, would help a lot. Because, like... Capcom just announced Pro Tour is like $600,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. DBZ just had like, they're just like, oh shit, we have over 2 million sales in like the first 2 weeks or whatever. Like, whatever, right? Like, but like, what's my incentive to like really play DBZ like at an esports event if there's like no money involved? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no end goal. You know, I'm just playing just to be the champion of that week. You know, maybe the next week, whatever. Like, it's just like, I don't have the drive to like practice Dragon Ball as much as like Street Fighter, like, but because I came from like a poor place, right? Like winning tournaments, winning like $80, $90. I'm like, dude, why didn't we have all this money back in the day? You know, I'd be caking it right now.
Yo, it's the same for any of the older guys, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, fuck, I'm all jealous of shit. That's why, like, most of the time I'm just thinking about the money more than anything, because I'm just like, dude, they have it so good right now.
Yo, there's like, people getting laid because they're good at video games right now. You definitely didn't have that shit when I was growing up. It didn't mean a fucking thing. You know, like, there's fucking, these people are fucking rock stars now. Like,
no comment. No, that was you.
Nah,
I was in the LCS. You don't want to say anything.
You know what? Yeah, well,
Just kidding. I swear to God, people are going to pull that shit up later.
Nah, you are good. But like I say, man, motherfuckers in esports are rock stars now, and it's like, you know, like, fuck, dude. Like, I just wish, like, just give me 5 years. You know, just give me another 5 years of this shit. Like, just rewind time so I'm 5 years younger.
Yeah, just
that's it. Like, I'm ready to go. You know,
that's all I fucking need, man.
Yeah.
But now that we're older, it's just like, fuck. Well, it's a tough life out here, dude, for the older people. But the young people, dude. Punk, Mena, Duke.
Yeah.
They're all young and they're all making bank. Fuck.
Yeah, man, my claim of fame is, you know, I showed Punk how to open a bottle of champagne.
pretty sure you forgot by now.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right. But I'm hoping, I'm just hoping like one day he's going to be telling his grandkids, you know? And yeah, and it was just like fat, crusty old white dude who came into the FGC and he showed me how to do this and he's straight popping corks with all the money that he won, you know? So, but anyway, look, man, we got to wrap up. So just some final thoughts. Like, what are you going to be doing? What's next on the horizon for Mon? Where can people follow you, you know?
Dude, I'm not going to be, I mean, the Capcom Pro Tour is happening like next month, so I'm going to be practicing a lot to start going to these tournaments if, you know, Rise decides to send me, you know, they could be like, yo, Mark, you're not going to win anything. Why don't you just stay home, you know? I don't know what their plan is, but, you know, it's just, there's going to be a lot of me at tournaments. I like going to tournaments because I just see a lot of people and they're just like, hey, Mario, can I take a picture? Blah, blah, blah. And it's not that bad anymore. I used to hate it a lot, but nowadays, since I suck and I don't have to focus on the tournaments that much, I'm just like, hey, you know, let's take this picture together. You know what? Let's just go out to eat together, guy. I don't know. Like, you know, let's just have some fun. You know, I don't need people to follow me, but obviously, you know, Mario or Z on Twitter.
Yep.
Other than that, I don't know, man.
You need to make yourself some content, dude. It's going to be a rough year?
It's going to be a rough year, dude.
Fuck that noise, man. You want to?
I think it's traveling every 3 weeks out of the 4 weeks a month, dude. Every month.
Talk to my boys, Tasty Steve and Sajam, man. Get on a fucking podcast or something with those guys.
What? They don't care, dude. I'm telling you, dude.
Nah, fuck that. They'll fucking... They appreciate a big personality. That's why we get along so well. So, yo, you need to talk to them. They're doing some killer shit right now. But anyway, look, man, I'm super happy we finally got to get you on the show and talk about some stuff, talk about the FGC and League of Legends and all that other good stuff. I hope you're around for another fucking, you know, however many years it's been, like another fucking 20, 30 years doing this shit. Like staying in, and I hope 2018 isn't a rough year because it shouldn't be, brother. So look after yourself. And to everybody that was watching, that is the fucking great Mon of Team Mon Fane. He's made his mistakes. He's been attached to his controversies, but he's always interesting. I hope you enjoyed hearing from him. So thanks a lot for tuning into this episode of the Richard Lewis Show. We'll be back at the same time, same place. So make sure you tune in. Until then, take care.